Welcome to Share Talk, the only podcast where investors come first.
I'm joined today by Zach Meir, Chief Executive of soon to list financial media and technology investment group, Lyft Global Ventures. Zach, how are you today?
I'm glad you gave me the intro because it's quite a mouthful, financial media and technology investor. But I think you probably know as well as anybody else what sort of area we will be investing in.
Yes, I'm very intimately familiar with it, I think you could say, Zach. So you're set to IPO on the Aquis market in quarter one 2022, in other words, a few weeks away. Couple of questions. Firstly, why Aquis and not AIM? And secondly, what are the immediate plans for the group after the float?
Well, it's Aquis, not AIM, because AIM and the LSE have changed their rules. They're trying to get rid of the micro caps, the little players, and I think that's fine. They're going to the what they regard as the higher ground, so maybe 50 million, or at least 20 million, 50 million, etc. And maybe that will be a way of there being more focus on AIM. But I suppose, given that I know the market very well, for me, Aquis is just, you know, it's like AIM was 30 years ago. So it's not really something which bothers me. And there's all these, all the sort of talk about liquidity and everything else. But I think if your story is right, the company's right, and you've seen companies on Aquis like KR1 and Valerium,
yeah,
they've multi-bagged. Even Oberon is a recent arrival on that market. That's done well. So if the company's good and you're good at telling the story, I think people will find you, and hopefully they'll do well out of their investment.
Sure. Well, of course, we've just seen Aberdeen Asset Management, or ABRDN, or whatever they're called nowadays, splash out a cool £1.5 billion on Interactive Investor. Do you think we are entering a consolidation phase in the financial media sector?
Well, I think that is a prime example. The timing is perfect as well. We've had a year and a half, maybe now it's going to be 2 years of the pandemic coming through, depending on when exactly you believe it started. And the pandemic has been great for small cap brokers. I think as you said this morning, had a record year, and Peel Hunt have had the, you know, all these players have done very well. And then the service providers too, the brokers, the PR companies, the trading platforms, all these other people, even Aquis, I think, done very well as well. And so it is a very good time in this space, in this, what the trendy people call the ecosystem. Don't like that very much, but that's what you've got to say these days. It's all Silicon Valley. And so this ecosystem has done very well, is doing very well. And I think that if we're in the shadow of the pandemic, it will continue to do well. There's another furlough. People will be punting from home. If there isn't, I still think the tech space is probably the space which is least affected by a pandemic or even inflation or economic uncertainty. I think it's a relative safe haven. But the good thing is that it has, you know, you have potential for great growth. Interactive Investor, I remember when it started, I remember one of the initial meetings the company had. I was there writing diligently in 2000 or 2001, I think around that time. Many of the other startups at that time I'm familiar with. I think I wrote for Shares Magazine, which I think got taken over by one of the other players. So there's always that interaction between trading platforms and websites and PR companies and IR companies and people who make the videos and all that sort of stuff. So that ecosystem idea is very important. The other thing which is very important as far as Lyft is concerned is that we are hunting in our own backyard. I used to be a broker in the 90s when you were young, Alan, and futures and options and CFDs and stuff like that. And then I went into the online financial media area in 2000. My first job was Shares Magazine, and then it's all sorts of UK Invest and all sorts of other, the street.co.uk and many other people that we're familiar with, I've written for, Yahoo Finance and other things.
Who's who of my history?
I don't want to mention any particular names, but there's one that you can probably work out.
Yes.
So I work for everyone, and so the skill set is there. I know the area very well, know many of the people in the area very well. Hmm. The other two board members, Paul Gazzard has PLC experience over many years. He was also a fund manager in the 90s and noughties. Tim Daniel worked for a hedge fund around the time of the, you know, the global financial crisis. It started there, and he's also got PLC experience. So we are, I think it was very important for me that we are a tech investment company or a financial media company, which is not just getting in on the bandwagon of whatever is new. You know, 6 months ago, it would have been NFTs. Now, if we were trying to be very spivvy, it would be sort of, we call it, meta lift or something like that. And, you know, AI lift or AI meta NFTs. But I didn't want to go down that road. I don't like the bandwagon thing. I don't think it works very well for investors. I think it's better to be in an area that you're fully, you know, you're an expert in. Yep. And that's best for people understanding the company. A lot of tech companies, I think people are invested in, they don't actually know what they do. You know, a lot of people don't know what an NFT is. They don't know what AI is. And I don't think that's the way to go. The other thing about what Lyft is doing is that it's going to be, we're in the new economy, but we're actually in the oldest part of the new economy. And we're probably in the part that people do understand the most. They understand, you know, a PR company has 20 clients, they pay a couple of grand a month each. You understand the business, you understand the margins, you understand how it works. It's the same with the online PR companies. They'll have their clients. It's revenue, generally decent revenues, consistent revenues. And I think that's a big plus. It's not something that you're investing in an idea which 10 years later might be Amazon, but it might not be anything at all. I think that's a sort of risk I don't like taking. And the other thing, probably the final point about Lyft is that we're not going to be going for that scattergun approach that many tech investment companies do as well. So they not only get on the bandwagon of whatever is new, but then they've got about 20 different things, and whatever is new that month, they go into that.
Yes.
And then the bubble bursts, and then they're just left there with this holding, which they've got to then follow up on their money, or they're out. And it takes too long. Probably, I think the investors, you know, as you probably know very well, investors, you know, they've got they'd like a 1 week view, maybe a 3-4 month view or a 6 month view is about as much as private investors can take. And I think rather than complaining about it, I think you want to sort of almost address it and go with it. Because obviously at the end of the day, your shareholders are, you know, they're the people that matter. So that's the other thing. Two or three investments max, they would be maybe investments which are have synergies. They help each other. I think that's the other thing that Lyft's going to try and do.
Sure. So you mentioned the board, of course, Tim Daniel and Paul Gazzard. So I'm rolling two questions into one here. I appreciate it's hard to take a longer term view in the current environment, but where do you see Lyft, say, in 3 years' time? And also, do you anticipate bringing other board members in?
Yeah, I think the people who have sort of complementary experience, I would bring them on board. You want a name, somebody who's known, you know, maybe a national name, somebody who's known as being an expert in this particular area, somebody's maybe, you know, been there, done that before.
Piers Morgan.
Somebody that people maybe can relate to and appreciate, so that probably rules him out, but I wouldn't rule that out either. But yeah, somebody of that a nice Piers Morgan type person, yeah. You know. Yeah. The media space, I think it's a good point there, actually, because obviously he's an old, he's a newspaper guy. And one of the big things is, as far as Lyft is concerned and the way the market's going, small cap stocks, they just don't get the proper coverage in the newspapers. And that's why it's all gone online. It's all gone to Twitter and the influencers and Telegram and all over the place. Because that research and that input that newspapers provided has just gone away since the Piers Morgan era, since he was in that space. So I think that the need for what Lyft's area is very much with us. Probably going to get stronger. I think in the US you have, you know, there's much more of this sort of digital communication, and there's much more of a budget that companies have for this. Here we're still probably 5 years behind. And I think there will be some uplift in the sense that, you know, as the newer CEOs come through, they'll appreciate what, you know, Lyft, the area that Lyft occupies, maybe what people like you do more, because, you know, this is still a pretty new area for the UK. It's probably just the social media side of communication is just 5 years old. So, you know, maybe another 5 years, 10 years time, as the new people come up, then the valuations and what we do, and what, you know, your brand communications and other things that you do will become greater. So I think there is that hopeful journey for the UK to catch up with the US, and valuations to go up in line with what we see in the US as well.
Okay, so you can't talk actual companies, but have you identified your first investments /acquisitions yet?
I think the diplomatic and the compliant thing to say is that we're obviously looking around. We've been looking around since the company was founded. The idea of being a consolidator or aggregator, or I suppose incubator of businesses in this area, has been there for quite some time. If anything, I'd be kicking myself for not having done it before, maybe 10 years, 15, 20 years before. I'm glad I dodged the bullet of the dot-com era. I'm glad that I dodged the GFC. And I might be glad that I dodged the pandemic as well. So there's never a good time, and maybe sometimes there's never a bad time either. But I think this is... Now, as I said, this space is mature enough, especially in terms of valuing companies, it's mature enough. And I think that's the thing. You don't want to do, you don't want to be buying Betamax instead of VHS, or, that a social media platform just before social media dies a death or is banned or whatever it is. So I think the reference points in terms of valuation, which is very, very important, are now there. And, you can sort of say, well, if a company has 10,000 followers, it should be worth this, 20,000, it should be worth that, et cetera, et cetera. I think there are sort of metrics now in the trading platform area, which is very interested in. I interviewed a company called Zigloo. I know Mode very well. That's those sorts of disruptive banking type of companies, disruptive trading companies. The metric is... £1,000 per user is the valuation. So if Zigloo has 100,000 users, then it should be worth £100 million, et cetera, et cetera. And you can say the same for also users of financial websites. There's a metric in there, and for advertising purposes and all the other purposes, that's there. So I think that's much better than 20 years ago, where AOL time. I think AOL was bought for 100 billion, and then it, 5 years later, it wasn't worth very much at all. So that's the sort of thing you want to try and avoid. And I think that's what we're thinking.
Okay, so putting my hat on as an LGV shareholder, from an investor standpoint, post IPO, what value inflection points should we be looking for in 2022?
I think the value inflection points are the main thing is, I suppose, the initial valuation says it's between 2 and 3 million. 2.7 is a theoretical value. That's not a lot of money. But I think with a tech company, you don't need to have a lot of money in order to survive. It's just basically, let's say it's not quite just a laptop and a mouse, but and an internet feed. But it's, that's the good part of it these days. The idea would to make a decent strategic investment in a what would be a growth situation, and hopefully the market would then appreciate that investment. The value of the paper would go up. Then we can add another investment to it, maybe which is synergistic to that, and build the buy and build from there. But the I think the goal is that we're going in for investors. We're going in sort of low, and it's a tight shareholder register. Hopefully, we can promote ourselves well, share price goes up, and then we can use paper and cash to make further acquisitions.
Excellent. Well, Lyft shareholders should be in for plenty of excitement in the coming months. We wish you every success with the IPO, Zach. Thank you very much for joining us today.
Thank you, Alan.
Thank you for listening. Remember to visit our website for more news and other podcasts at www.share-talk.com.